Good morning. It's Monday, the 21st of March, 2016, and it's, what time is it? 9:16 a.m. Yes, I'm out. I'm walking. I didn't think I was going to, but I got a little creative with my schedule this morning. I should be at the garage right now, but what I did was I took the kid to school and then took the car to the garage. And then got a courtesy shuttle home. And rather than go into the house and take off my shoes and sit down, I zipped up my coat and went for my walk. And here I am, talking to you. Yesterday was not... yesterday was not Easter Sunday. It was... as Anita tells me, it was Palm Sunday. I have no idea what the various Christian sects celebrate. I should have known yesterday was in fact Ostara, not Easter. It was the vernal equinox. And since the first full moon in the spring season is on Tuesday, that makes Easter Sunday next Sunday, which apparently makes this Sunday Palm Sunday, or yesterday Palm Sunday. So, yeah, anyway. I actually looked it up because I knew there was some odd thing about full moons and the Council of Nicaea. I just don't remember what it was. And my wife on Saturday night, my wife said, you know, tomorrow's Easter. We don't have any candy. We don't have anything for the holiday. So Saturday night, I went to the grocery store and bought chocolate Easter eggs and picked up a ham and some yams and planned for a feast for yesterday. Unfortunately, it wasn't Easter. We did open the candy. we did have the feast, so we celebrated Ostara. Next week, we'll celebrate Easter. Maybe I'll roast a turkey. I don't know. Let's see. Anyway, I've already been in the word processor this morning. I did manage to get OpenOffice 5 upgraded yesterday, finally. I did get the last of the covers uploaded for Podium. They were... The uploads failed because their Dropbox was full, not my Dropbox was full. PSDs are big files, and it took up a terabyte of their data. Because I don't know how much was available for them, so maybe it didn't take up quite that much. In fact, I'm pretty sure it didn't because I don't have a terabyte drive, and they fit quite comfortably on my drive at home, so clearly they have some other stuff in there. So, yeah, I've already been in the word processing files. I'm looking forward to getting back and getting some breakfast. Something more than a cinnamon raisin bun. And some coffee. And get back into the word processing. My shins are complaining this morning because I have been walking along because I'm in a hurry. I want to get back. It's already after 9 o'clock. Day's almost gone. So over the weekend, we were having a discussion on the CIFWA forums about Kindle edition normalized page counts, which have been in fluctuation over the last couple of months. They recalculated how they were going to do it, which cut down a lot of people's page counts by about 10%. I didn't really notice because I didn't pay any attention. to what my page counts might have been to begin with. So if they've changed, I didn't see it. There might have been a slight downtick in page reads. I'm not convinced that there was. If there was, it was really too small to notice. I honestly didn't look. I have a hard time getting too upset about how Kindle chooses to do their thing. And what I'm most concerned with is it still worth being there? And so far, yes, it is. One of the problems is that they've got this spammer problem, the scammer problem. And people were uploading 7,000, 8,000, 10,000 page collections. And then they were putting at the end of the book an advertisement for thousands of free books, which is basically a link to Gutenberg. But in the front of the book, they would put a link on the very first page that says, get thousands of free books, click here, which would take them to the end of the book, which would then trigger Kindle to count all of the pages in between as having been read, which is kind of a dumb way to do it to begin with, but that's how they did it apparently. And so they got credit for 10,000 page reads in that one click. And they would do this hundreds of times a month for dozens of titles. And so it added up pretty quickly, and some of those guys became Kindle All-Stars for several of the last months. For not actually putting out books that people read, just putting out spam links in the backs of books. So what happened was that a lot of people who put their table of contents in the back of the book got caught up in this sort of dragnet looking for links at the back of the book. And that caused all sorts of hate and discontent. Particularly for Walter John Williams, who had a BookBub running on the day that Amazon discovered his table of contents at the back of his book and then took his book offline in the middle of his book club, which are not easy to get and are not cheap. So yeah, that was a bit of a problem for Walter John, and he bitched loudly. Amazon really didn't understand that people were putting the tables of contents in the back of the book. It was one of those, what? People are doing this on purpose? Why? And the answer is so that the sample actually has text in it and not just cover page, front matter, table of contents, and the first page of the text, which actually happens to a lot of people. So they were moving the table of contents to the back of the book, because when you click table of contents, it takes you to the back of the book. It doesn't matter where it is. Doesn't have to be in the front of the book, it can be anywhere, it's an ebook. And so, yes, that was a problem that Amazon didn't know people were doing it. It was also a problem that Amazon didn't know people were doing it or why. And they have since modified their terms and conditions, and just having the table of contents at the end is no longer a violation of table of content. Violation of terms of service. Not that it ever was. There never was any kind of stipulation about where the table of content had to be, or even if there had to be one. And they also put a cap at 3,000 pages. So if you put a book up that has more than 3,000 Kindle edition normalized pages, you'll only get paid for the cap of 3,000 if people read beyond that. Which should cut down a lot on the 10,000 page scam novels, scam collections. And the next thing they're going to have to deal with is keyword stuffing in titles and subtitles and series titles. People are really getting stupidly out of hand by putting in keywords in their series title or subtitle. And I think that's actually a violation of Monk Post. Well, that's actually a violation of TOS. I don't think you're actually allowed to do that. You can't put them in the product description either. Although, it's more likely that they'll go in the product description, because if you're going to talk about the book, you sort of have to use some of the keywords while you're describing the book. So, yeah, Amazon had a bit of a wake-up call. But on Sifo, they were talking about how there are actually two lists, the popularity list and the bestseller list, which I have talked about before here. The bestseller list is based on sales. It's pretty much based on sales. It's a weighted average across a few days, several days. And it's, compared to all the other books in the previous hour, your book is number 1,322. That's your sales rank. Now, they modify sales rank so that if your book is $4.99 and you sold 10,000 books, it will appear above somebody whose price is $2.99 and sold 10,000 books. Because it's more popular if the higher price convinces the same number of people to buy the book. Now your sales ranks will be very close together, because if you both sold 10,000, then you're probably going to be in, you know, within 10 or 15 numbers of each other, so your sales rank maybe, let's see, if it's 10,000, it's going to be around, it's probably going to be around 12,000, and if the other book sold 10,001, it'll be around 11,999 or something. It's probably going to be like 11,900 or something along those lines, because there are a lot of books that sell in about the same range at the 10,000 mark in terms of sales rank. So, yeah, apparently he didn't realize that the popularity list was a thing, and that you can actually manipulate your position on it by changing the price of your book. So if you want to appear higher on the popularity list, you have to raise your price. Now, if you raise your price, then chances are you won't sell as many books. But if you're selling at $2.99, and this guy happened to be, then raising it to $3.99 will actually move you up in the popularity ranking, and probably won't hurt you in terms of changing the raw number of sales. And if it's in Kindle Select, if it's in Kindle Unlimited, then page reads will still count. You still get paid for them. And actually, it might go up. Page reads do get counted toward sales rank. So, yeah, the whole thing is sort of well-balanced. And there are two different lists. The bestseller list is not the popularity list. The popularity list is not the bestseller list. Although they are related. So it always amuses me when we have to explain this stuff to people who are supposed to be professionals. Clearly do not understand your marketplace. But apparently that's not unusual, because that's what my workshop will be at Colorado Gold next September, is a breakdown of the lists and ribbons, what they mean, how to use them, the tools of the trade for indie publishing that Amazon provides. Everybody talks about what they don't provide, but let's not ignore what they do provide, because what they do provide is pretty awesome. Snotty, snotty nose. It is chilly. It's 40. The official temperature is like 37. I think it was like 40 degrees when I left the house. It's supposed to be 70 today. I don't know if it's going to make it or not. It might. There's a lot of cloud cover. It seems to be burning off or breaking up. And if the sun comes out, starts heating the soil, heating the ground, it could pop up pretty quick. While it's chilly now, it could well be 70 by the end of the day. Such is life in Colorado. All things are possible. It could just as easily snow. No, probably not, but I have actually had a day where it was 80 one day and snowed the next here, since I've lived here. It didn't stick around very long, but it was 80 one day, and it did snow the next day. But look at me, two in a row. We'll see how long I can keep the string going. I probably shouldn't say anything, because tomorrow I'll probably screw it up. But yeah, well, you know what? We do what we do. We punt on the rest. I'm really stoked to be back in the words. I'm really stoked to be have the word processor updated and to have Milkron working. I need food. I'm feeling faint. I did my citizen's duty this morning. The snow last week. The city traffic control department put in one of those rubber tube traffic counter boxes here at the house, right outside. They chained it nicely to the stop sign there, but the tubes that ran across the street got all torn up, because I suspect they were covered with snow, and then either cars sliding on them tore them and broke them, slipping over them ripped them loose, or somebody with a snowplow came through and scraped them up. But they're all broken and laying in the street. And I thought, you know, they're probably going to come back next week and want to know how many cars, and they're going to get here and find that that they're going to have to do it again. So I called traffic control this morning and let them know that the tubes were kind of beaten up. In fact, is this the guy right here? Looks like it. Yep. It is indeed. Speak of the devil. Good morning. So yeah, here I am at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.